Hello and welcome to the latest podcast in our series, Living with Diabetes, brought to you by Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. I'm Claire Levy, and in this episode we're looking at a new initiative which addresses kidney health and diabetes. DRWF has produced a new leaflet with the support of Kidney Research UK to provide helpful advice for people living with diabetes. We've been speaking to a range of voices for this special report.
Patients have said to us time and time again, especially patients living with diabetes and other cardiovascular diseases, is that they want the information, but they also don't want to be scared about what end-stage renal failure might look and feel like.
So what I'd like for the leaflet to do is for people with diabetes, living with diabetes, to check, have I had this test? Speak to the healthcare professional, what is my kidney health? Have I had my kidney function blood test and the urine test?
When we're not sure of something or if something's unknown, we just fill it with fear and what ifs and maybe this and maybe that and maybe. We're actually, if we take the time to just go and empower ourselves.
So people living with diabetes, we know, are at increased risk of a number of different complications related to diabetes itself. And one really important one is kidney disease.
Hear more from our panel coming up next.
Views, information or opinions contained in podcasts do not necessarily represent the opinions, standards or policies of DRWF. The inclusion of details about products or services does not indicate DRWF endorsement of them. The aim of podcasts is to educate and inform, and we endeavour to ensure that the information provided in them is accurate. It's not a substitute for medical or health advice from a healthcare professional who's aware of the facts and circumstances of your individual situation. We always recommend that advice be sought from your GP or diabetes nurse before making any changes to medication or before using any products or services referenced by DRWF. Neither DRWF nor any of its employees or owners shall be held liable or responsible for the accuracy or completeness for any errors or omissions in podcasts or for any damage you may suffer as a result of failing to seek competent medical or health advice from a professional who is familiar with your situation.
Hello. In this special podcast, we're focusing on kidney and heart health, which are closely related. This new leaflet has been produced with the support of Kidney Research UK. It's designed to create greater awareness of kidney function, what chronic disease looks like, and how it's connected with good heart health. We've pulled together a panel representing various stakeholders in this area of diabetes and kidney health. Thanks for joining us on the DRWF podcast, Living with Diabetes. To start with, can I just ask you all to introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Swati. I'm the Multiple Long-Term Conditions Lead here at Kidney Research UK and a clinician by background. I've worked in the NHS for many, many years as a physiotherapist and have lived experience to add to the other hat that I wear in this role.
So thank you, Claire. My name is Professor Janica Karolidi. I work at King's College London and also at Guy's and St. Thomas's. And my interest is in diabetic kidney disease and diabetes-related cardiovascular disease.
Yeah, sure. So I'm Daniel. I've been living with type 1 diabetes for over 29 years. That'll be 30 years in August this year. I've had a really mixed relationship with the condition, seeing all sides of the condition, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then in 2013, I was diagnosed with chronic kidney disease. And in 2018, I received a kidney transplant.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm Dr. Sarah Davis. I'm a GP in Cardiff with a special interest in diabetes.
Swati, if I can just turn to you first. DRWF has worked closely with Kidney Research UK to produce this new leaflet. From your perspective, why was it important to support this initiative to raise greater awareness of kidney and heart health for people living with diabetes?
So it's a hugely vital issue, and it came about somewhat fortuitously by the time I bumped into Sanjay at an event and noticed that your amazing plethora of leaflets was missing one specifically about kidney and heart health, which set the train in motion for us coming together together to create something like this. It's an area of great passion of mine for trying to reach patients who are at greater risk of developing kidney disease, so particularly those patients living with diabetes and or cardiovascular disease. And a huge message from us, where we are jointly aligned with DRWF, is really thinking about early detection of these diseases and prevention and progression to end-stage renal failure.
Why is sharing information about what tests are available for people at risk of kidney and heart health complications so important to get out there?
I think from what patients have said to me, as well as my own lived experience in this space, is that patients just don't have the awareness. They aren't aware that it's a simple urine test that can be done, which is called the urinase ACR test, which the leaflet makes reference to. So it's giving patients agency and for them to understand that this is part of their diabetes well-being, you know, care processes that should be done every year. But it's also helping them to understand that this isn't for checking for urine infection. This really is an important marker and an early detector of kidney health and heart health. And empowering and giving patients some agency in this space is really important, but that has to be combined with also upskilling and raising awareness amongst healthcare professionals.
And was it important to have information that's understandable but without adding stress and anxiety around tests at checkup?
Absolutely. And I think that's something patients have said to us time and time again, especially patients living with diabetes and other cardiovascular diseases, is that they want the information, but they also don't want to be scared about what end-stage renal failure might look and feel like. And so actually these early signs and warning signs in the simplest form around the urine test as part of, you know, annual care processes is imperative that patients are made aware of this and that it's readily available.
So how can raising awareness about the conditions potentially help those at risk of complications seek earlier support from healthcare professionals?
I think it's as basic as understanding what the test is, why it's necessary, and what it's looking for. Patients have said to us time and time again, they thought that a urine test was checking for infection, when we know for the urine ACR in particular, that's not what this is looking for. It is a lab test and it is looking for protein leakage into your urine. And so arming patients with this information for us as a kidney charity is really important, and working alongside yourselves helps us to reach an audience that otherwise may not be interested in CKD because maybe they haven't yet developed a complication, which is exactly where we want to be sitting and passing this information on.
Is there anything else you'd like to add at this point?
It's been a pleasure working with DRWF, as it always is, and I think our work together hopefully will go from strength to strength. You guys are a trusted voice for patients living with, you know, diabetes, and for us that's an emerging place that we need to be working more collaboratively and cohesively with. So it's been a pleasure. I look forward to doing more work with you guys in the future.
Jannike, if I can bring you in now. You're the author of the leaflet, and based on your experience of working with patients with these conditions, how much awareness do you see in clinic?
So often when people come to my clinic, it's sadly when kidney function has deteriorated significantly. Early stages of chronic kidney disease is often silent and people don't feel unwell. Most people referred to my clinic have kidney function where they have advanced kidney disease, where their kidney number or the eGFR is below 30. So at that stage, people are often sometimes shocked or surprised to know they have kidney disease. They feel like no one's ever told them before. And we may have as healthcare professionals, but it's whether we made an impact when we first spoke about it. And it is a huge problem because that unawareness, especially when people don't feel unwell, and when we first make the diagnosis, is so important because we can actually change the disease trajectory and stop people coming to my clinic when they're kind of close to dialysis, when kidney failure has occurred or need transplantation for their kidney failure.
So why did you feel it was important to support DRWF in producing this new resource and to create greater awareness in the area?
So I felt there was an unmet need, really talking about screening in early chronic kidney disease. As I said, people don't feel unwell. We can only diagnose that condition with a blood test and a urine test, that double check, if you like. And this is important because we are not just looking at numbers, we are also predicting the future risk of kidney failure and cardiovascular disease. So sadly, many people with kidney disease will succumb to heart problems because the heart and the kidney are interconnected. So I felt there was an opportunity to really raise awareness and to get people to think and ask their healthcare professional, have I had this test? Do I know, you know, what is my kidney and heart health? And that was the purpose of the leaflet and the double check campaign for kidney function, but also looking at heart and kidney disease together and early chronic kidney disease.
And what is that link between living with diabetes and the increased risk for kidney disease?
Many people with kidney disease will have diabetes, and around 30 to 40% of people with diabetes will develop kidney disease in their lifetime. In the UK, diabetes remains one of the commonest causes of people ending up on kidney failure, which is dialysis. So there is a close interrelationship. Diabetes can damage kidney disease, can damage kidneys, and also increase the risk of associated heart or cardiovascular disease. So there's a very close interrelationship, and sadly, the numbers of people with kidney damage due to diabetes is increasing exponentially across the world, including in the UK.
So what is chronic kidney disease? And I know you said it doesn't often show up, but how does it eventually show up?
So chronic kidney disease is where we have abnormalities in kidney function, or in terms of a blood test that measures kidney function called the GFR test, or where there's damage to the kidneys, often manifested or seen as an increase in protein leaking from the kidney called albumin or urine albumin to creatinine ratio. Chronic kidney disease at the early stages is asymptomatic. People don't feel unwell. And therefore, it's vital that we diagnose it, but also intervene. What I mean by that is to reduce the risk of the kidney function progressively dropping, but also to reduce the risk of that cardiovascular or heart disease that is often so profound and actually reduces life expectancy, sometimes by up to 10 years in people. And by treating early, by managing lifestyle, getting the right medications, controlling the blood pressure, lifestyle factors, good diabetes levels, if you like, we can actually prevent the kidneys from getting more damaged, but also reduce cardiovascular disease. So that's what CKD, I guess, is. It's a kind of, it's all encompassing, but we mustn't remove it from the heart disease, because there is a very close interrelationship, especially in people with diabetes.
And we've mentioned already, but there are two tests people should receive as part of their diabetes checkup. Can you just give us a bit more details about what those tests are and what they're looking for?
So for chronic kidney disease, to diagnose it, again, it's important that we screen people, because people don't feel unwell. They're not coming to clinic often when the kidney function is modestly deteriorated because it's asymptomatic or people don't have any symptoms. So the two tests are the double test, if you like, and the double check is a kidney function blood test called the EGFR, or the estimated glomerular filtration rate. And if you have two values below 60, that indicates chronic kidney disease. That's your kidney function test. In parallel, we do a urine test to pick up leaking of protein, commonly albumin, which shouldn't appear in large amounts if your kidney filtration was working well. But if your kidney filter is damaged, there's more protein appearing. And that albumin creatinine ratio, if it's above 3 and is confirmed on a repeat test, again, that's a marker of kidney disease. Often, when the kidney function is above 60, the urine test is the only way for us to diagnose chronic kidney disease. So you could have a kidney function number that is satisfactory, but if you don't have the urine test, we miss the evidence of kidney disease. So the two tests, the double test or the double check, is essential because they're complementary, but they also are useful in picking up early disease, but also future risk of heart and kidney disease and disease progression.
Let me bring in Daniel now. You're living with type 1 diabetes and have had some quite serious issues with your kidney health. You were diagnosed with chronic kidney disease. How did you deal with the diagnosis and how did it make you feel?
So the diabetes, I'm going to give away my age here because I'm sure there's some very smart people listening. So I was diagnosed when I was 10. And I don't remember too much about that, just that it was in the summer of going from year 5 to year 6. And I just remember I was drinking a lot, but it was hot, and I was drinking Ribena, a lot of Ribena. I remember that, but it was hot. So everyone thought it's the heat. Went to the cinema with my aunt, with my cousins as well. I was unwell, came back home. Mum called the emergency GP later that evening, said you need to take him to A&E now. That's all I really remember from the diagnosis. What more sticks to my mind is just the trouble that I had over the going into your teenage years, going from primary school to secondary school with a chronic condition. Obviously, this was in the mid to late 90s. Back then, health wasn't spoken about how health is spoken about now. So there was so much going on at that time. And then with my chronic kidney disease, I was probably in the middle of diabetes distress and diabetes burnout when there was protein in my urine, I should say. And I was given tablets by my GP, but I didn't really understand what was going on. She might have explained it to me, but I didn't understand because I was just in the distress and the burnout. So because I was there, when I actually got the diagnosis of chronic kidney disease, it didn't sink in, but it was, and I just remember that I felt like I'd failed a test. Didn't really understand what was going on. And I thought that I didn't really understand the importance of, I didn't really understand the importance of my kidneys in that whole, in the grand scheme of things and where they fit in. And maybe it's probably something we touch on later. But for me, with the diabetes, it takes a huge chunk of it and the kidneys are so small. But actually, the kidneys are a vital part. And when it was spoken about complications, the focus for me tends to be on your eyes, your feet, your heart, all of the, and then at the end is, and kidneys. But I feel that part is a key part that's missing in these conversations. And that part needs to have as much focus as the eyes do and everything else. Because when you say you notice or you get your results, or you might not even know what to ask your consultant, or your consultant might say your kidney function is okay. You don't really understand, well, what does that mean? What do I need to look out for? What does EGFR mean? What are my creatinine levels? What does microalbumin? It's missing from that conversation. So that's a really long-winded way of how I felt at the chronic kidney disease diagnosis. Yeah. But what I've learned, and when I look back and reflect, what should have happened and maybe should be much more prominent in conversations for me back then. I can't change it for me, but I would want that for others going forward.
And you received a kidney transplant in 2018?
Yeah, 2018. So I was very, very fortunate that I hadn't been on dialysis, so it was a preemptive transplant from a living donor. So my mum was my donor. So I'm very fortunate in that aspect. And I remember I was determined to not let the diagnosis overtake me. So I worked up until, I think it was 2 days before my transplant. So finished work, hospital the next day, transplant the day after. And there were many things that the doctors were still surprised that I was still working because of my function. That was it. There was a lot going on at the time, but it's I feel that it's given me a new lease of life, a second chance of life.
Yeah, hell of a gift.
Yeah.
Do you think people living with diabetes, I know you've kind of touched on this, do you think they are aware of the links to kidney function and disease?
I think they are aware, But I feel that it's on a very surface level because it's not spoken about as much. And so because I would say they are aware, my actual answer would be no, I don't think they're not aware as they should be or as they need to be. And I think that's missing. And I think what's really good about this resource and actually the conversations that the RWF are having, and something that I feel has been missing from the community for a number of years, is people talking about complications of diabetes. And that's almost like a taboo subject because sometimes people don't know how to talk about them. But you can talk about complications in a way that's educational, that's preventative, that's meeting people where they are at. So if you are living, say, you've got a diagnosis of chronic kidney disease, then the message changed slightly. But even though this leaflet's more about information and prevention, but it can still apply to if you've got that diagnosis because you educate yourself. And I feel that that's had an impact on me when I was initially diagnosed, because I felt alone. I felt like I failed the test, but nobody had spoken about or speaks about complications in a way where it's your life still goes on. And I think if there's anyone listening who doesn't live with diabetes, I can liken it to how we as a society talk about grief. So it's something that we probably all experience, but we don't talk about it because it's such a taboo subject. And then it's when it's at our door, it can be like, oh, what do I do? But actually, if we spoke about it in a way that it was almost with warmth, but the understanding of that emotion that you're going through, that makes a difference to how we as a society deal with grief. And it's the same with complications. We can speak about it in warmth in a way of, yes, you might have a complication, but your life still goes on. It will look different, you'll have to adjust, but your life still goes on. So that's the warmth, but then you can have the sadness of, oh, this now means XYZ is happening. But you need that hope as well that you can continue to move forward.
And it's diabetes related kidney damage is silent. So what should people know about getting their screening as part of their regular diabetes tests?
So for me, what I feel that people should know is, one, is that when you're having your, whether it be your annual checks or wherever you are, you're having HbA1c, and your consultant, your nurse might mention, oh, your kidney function's okay. The next question should be, what is my kidney function? What does that mean? And then go away and research that. We've got the resource that's available. Look at the resource, but go away and research and empower yourself with that information, because knowledge is key. So you know what's going on, particularly because it is silent. And I saw something in the online community not too long ago where somebody found out that they were in stage 3 CKD, but actually for a long period of time, their function had been declining. But it wasn't spoken about. Also, if you don't know what to look for, then what can you do? And it's no blame on the person or anything, but you don't know what you're looking for. And the flip side to that is also, if you are living with diabetes and your consultant or your nurse or whoever your health isn't mentioning about your kidney disease, ask, can I have my kidney function checked? And I think the key part of this is just don't be worried about the results. Don't be scared. I'm sure, I can't guarantee they'll be okay, but don't be worried, because that fear could have potentially longer term consequences further down the line. Whereas if you know, you're empowered, and it should be viewed as, I'm empowering myself with knowledge to know what I need to do next.
Yeah, knowledge is king.
Yeah.
So from your own experience, how can a resource like this new leaflet benefit people learning about the links between kidney health and diabetes for the first time if they don't know anything?
I think so. What this resource can do, it can take away, it take, well, no, it can't, it just, it takes away the fear of the unknown. And a lot of the time when we're not sure of something or if something's unknown, we just fill it with fear and what ifs and maybe this and maybe that. And maybe we're actually, if we take the time to just go and empower ourselves, and go and learn more about it. It's what we've said already, knowledge is power, but knowledge equals power, and then it equals better decisions as well. So I would take the time, and it's a whole new terminology. So people might know HbA1c, bolus, basal, CGM, insulin pump, but we might know what that means. Now, the kidney world is different, and you need to understand what's going on in the kidneys, and then understand how your blood pressure can impact your kidneys, and then can impact your diabetes, what controlling your blood pressure can do, perhaps if you're prescribed blood pressure medications, the impact of what that can do in the whole ecosystem of your body, but also the bigger picture as well. So the resource is there to just really lay out to somebody living with diabetes the importance of educating yourself. It's done in a nice way. It's not scare tactics. It's not, and that's key as well.
DRWF, staying well until a cure is found.
You're listening to Living with Diabetes, the DRWF podcast. In this episode, we have a panel discussing kidney and heart health for people living with diabetes. Jannike, you've worked with DRWF to produce this new leaflet. You've explained those two tests. So how can the leaflet and any supporting media help people living with diabetes, say, understand more about their tests and what healthcare professionals are looking for? Why is it important to have this?
So what I'd like for the leaflet to do is for people with diabetes, living with diabetes, to check, have I had this test? Speak to the healthcare professional. What is my kidney health? Have I had my kidney function blood test and the urine test? How often should I get it repeated if it has been detected? Do I have any early damage? And then if there is any early damage, am I on the best treatments to reduce the risk of kidney function deteriorating, but also to improve my heart health? So that's the main purpose. I'd like it to be a prompt for people to talk to their healthcare professionals, and also for healthcare professionals to be aware of the importance of kidney health. Many healthcare professionals read leaflets in primary care and secondary care settings, from the receptionist to the healthcare assistant, to the practice nurse, to the pharmacist, to the doctor, to everyone in the team. It's useful to raise awareness. And that was the key kind of priority for me, at least, with this leaflet, to raise awareness of kidney disease in diabetes and get people to ask, have I had this check? Do I have chronic kidney disease? If I do have it, how do I stop it from getting worse?
Can you just explain what areas then that we've chosen to highlight in the leaflet that may not be available in other resources to help, as you say, healthcare professionals to get the importance of the message across?
So working with colleagues in the charity, what we really wanted to do was to keep it simple, keep it easy. So the double check was kind of, I thought, something that people could ask about. And that hasn't been done, at least to date, in the UK. So asking people about this double check and increasing the awareness of chronic kidney disease screening in diabetes. There's amazing stuff out there, but what we really wanted was something for people to have a snappy title and then to ask someone. And then there's much more information that people can access in the leaflet, alongside about medication, lifestyle changes, and also resources from Kidney Research UK, for example, on more detailed aspects of kidney health.
So the NICE final guidance, published very recently, Wednesday the 18th of February, in fact, says that people with type 2 diabetes will be offered a type of medicine called an SGLT2 inhibitor, known as the Flozins, much earlier in their treatment. And how do you think these recommendations that put individual needs at the heart of treatment decisions will affect both diabetes and kidney care?
So the SGLT2 inhibitors are a really important class of medications. So for more than 20 years, we didn't have any new medications for kidney health. We had medications called ACE inhibitors or angiotensin receptor blockers, and they were the kind of foundational therapy for chronic kidney disease and diabetes. The Flozins, or the SGLT2 inhibitors, are a medication class that have been around for nearly 10 years, but they have demonstrated benefits for actually preventing kidney failure, reducing cardiovascular or heart disease, reducing mortality, and actually preventing dialysis and transplantation. So the fact that they're kind of positioned earlier in the new guidelines, I'm very hopeful, because if we assume the data can translate to real world, that we will be preventing thousands and thousands of people developing heart complications, but also kidney complications, by starting these therapies early and having a more personalized approach. The new guidelines are for people who are younger to really focus on lifetime risk, adding medicines to protect their heart and save their kidneys, if you like. For people with chronic kidney disease, the SGLT2 inhibitors should be started very early, pretty much first line, and for majority of people with type 2 diabetes. So earlier starting will prevent progressive disease from developing. And what we don't want to do is for weight people to get advanced disease to start therapies. What we should really be thinking is about prevention. And this, the new guidelines, I hope, will really promote that by wider adoption of these therapies, which are still underutilized, sadly, despite being around for, as I said, nearly 10 years.
Mm. So how will the updated guidance impact then on the diabetes community, both people living with diabetes as well as the healthcare professionals?
So the new guidelines, I think, would really promote earlier use of evidence-based medications such as SGLT2 inhibitors, particularly, which have evidence to protect kidneys and protect people from cardiovascular disease in living with diabetes. So earlier use will allow us to prevent lots of complications and actually save lives. And I think, the guidelines will, I hope, get many of our primary care colleagues to really use these therapies early. Often in medicine, we're waiting for complications to develop. We're waiting for blood tests to change. But here, the fact that they're pushed right at the beginning, independent of the glucose level, we will be offering the SGLT2 inhibitors in many people for their kidney and heart health. So rather than waiting for things to get worse and then acting, a more preemptive, a preventative approach, I think, will make a huge difference to thousands of healthcare professionals looking after people with diabetes, but also millions of people living with diabetes in the UK.
Mm. So people living with diabetes, what can they do to help look after their overall health and their kidney health in particular?
So I think it's about the basics, which I think often we forget. It's really important about lifestyle, diet, education, getting advice on losing weight if this is a problem or is a big factor, healthy eating, exercise, stopping smoking, reducing high alcohol intake. And in parallel, making sure that the blood pressure levels are well controlled to stop not just kidney complications, but also eye complications, the risk of stroke, risk of cardiovascular disease. Being on the best medications, if they are indicated, to actually prevent complications, such as the SGLT2 inhibitor medications, and also thinking about the heart health. Many people with diabetes will also have a high risk of cardiovascular disease or heart disease, so lowering the cholesterol, often requiring medications, will actually prevent complications and reduce a huge impact on people's quality of life, because complications is what actually affects people's quality of life and length of life. And the key message is doing all of these things holistically, coming for regular checkups, having the monitoring, self-managing diabetes and being aware of your kidney number and your blood pressure and your cholesterol levels and your diabetes targets, all of these working in partnership will really make a difference.
Can you just tell us a little bit about the Super Six approach?
So the Super Six approach is a way of thinking about kidney and heart health. It's about making sure the blood glucose levels are at the right level. This should be individualized, speaking with your healthcare professional, what are the targets that we should be aspiring for? Similarly, for blood pressure levels, because blood pressure is really important. If it's too high, it can cause damage to the kidneys, eyes, but also strokes and cardiovascular disease. Then it's about lifestyle. As we've discussed, the importance of lifestyle interventions, diet, exercise, smoking cessation, alcohol, and being on the right medications for heart and kidney health, which are the medications we spoke about, these ACE inhibitors or angiotensin receptor blockers, the SGLT2 inhibitors, and the statins. So these are the six kind of areas. Healthy lifestyle, stopping smoking, heart medications in terms of cholesterol, SGLT2, RAS inhibition, the best medications, good blood pressure control, and good diabetes levels are the super six to really give holistic heart and kidney health, but also prevent complications in the future.
Finally, I'd like to talk with Dr. Sarah Davies. Why do you feel it's important for people living with diabetes to understand more about the tests they receive to monitor their kidney function?
So people living with diabetes, we know, are at increased risk of a number of different complications related to diabetes itself. And one really important one is kidney disease. That's why we really want to have a close eye on kidney health, to get these checks done regularly and early, to spot any issues occurring with the kidneys at the earliest possible stage so that we can intervene to protect the kidneys. But also that helps to protect the heart, because your kidneys and your heart health are really closely linked.
And what are these two tests? Can you just give us a bit more details?
Yeah, of course. There's two important tests that people should have done regularly to keep an eye on their kidney and heart health. So one is a blood test. It's called the EGFR, or estimated glomerular filtration rate. That's a blood test that measures how well your kidneys are filtering the blood that's coming through them. The second test is a urine test. That's called the urinary ACR, or urinary albumin creatinine ratio. You often hear it called just ACR. That's looking for small amounts of protein that are leaking from the kidney into the urine. And that ACR can be a really useful early warning sign that all is not well in the kidney, and we need to take some action to help to protect it.
So you've sort of, is there anything else that we need to understand what the tests are looking for?
So the tests are looking for the function and the health of the kidney, and they're both equally important. So they're measuring how well the kidney is filtering the blood, that's the EGFR, and the overall functioning of the kidney, the urinary ACR.
And will people be able to tell if they have any early stage kidney disease?
That is the whole problem with early stage kidney disease. Often we feel completely well. That means it's really difficult to spot, because you feel completely normal. Really, the only way that we can identify early stage kidney disease is with these two tests, the blood test and the urine test. And that's why it's so important to get them done regularly.
And so this blood test, and it's looking for kidney function, should people worry if their tests show protein in the urine?
So if your urine test shows some protein in the urine, that means your urinary ACR is up a little bit. We normally use 3 as a cutoff here in the UK. If it's above 3, that shows a little bit of protein leaking into the urine. Well, of course, we should be a little bit worried, because it's showing that there's some very early signs of some damage in the kidneys there. But actually, it can be a very early sign indeed. That means that there's opportunity. So there's opportunity to look at our kidney health, which also helps to protect our heart health as well, and plenty that we can do if we do identify protein in the urine to help to protect your kidneys and indeed your heart.
So it's looking at kidney function and the filtering. Why is this monitoring then so important?
It's so important because we want to identify any deterioration in kidney health at an early stage. That means we can put in any interventions. Well, you can act to protect your kidneys and your heart yourself, but also we can look at medications that help to protect the heart and the kidneys going forward. We also want to keep a close eye on things to see whether things are progressing. Is it getting worse over a period of time? Do we need to think about asking perhaps the specialist to have a look at you to see whether we need to do anything else to protect your kidney health and your heart health overall? It also might affect things such as what other medications you can take safely. If your kidney function is getting a little worse over time, we need to look at other medications you might be taking to make sure they're safe alongside your kidney status.
Is there anything people can do to help themselves to improve and maintain kidney health?
Absolutely. So your kidneys are really quite sensitive to quite a few of the sort of good lifestyle habits that we should all try to pursue. So eating a good balanced diet, reducing added salt in the diet can help to protect the kidneys. Definitely stopping smoking. So smoking has a significant impact on kidney health. So stopping smoking, trying to lose some weight and keeping to a healthy weight, and taking some regular exercise. These are really important lifestyle measures that can significantly help to protect your kidneys and your heart health as well, of course.
And so how important is it that the resource that we've helped to produce with Kidney Research UK are available for people living with diabetes at the risk of kidney health complications?
I think it's really important to have a lovely, user-friendly, well-researched resource that people can go to. I know that when you go to see your GP, your practice nurse, your consultant, we tell you an awful lot of information in one sitting. There's a lot to take in, a lot to remember, and it can go in one ear and out the other, quite understandably so. So actually to have a resource to go to, a leaflet to go to, which you know is dependable, that is easy to understand, is relevant to you, is so important so that people can go and check, what are we meant to be having done again? Why am I having it done? What can I do to protect my kidneys? I'm really delighted with this new resource.
And you've mentioned already, but can you just tell us a little bit more about any medications that will help kidney disease? Should people be concerned if they're recommended to start taking them?
They should not be concerned. If you're recommended to start taking a medication to protect your kidney and heart health, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Because remember what I said, if we can identify issues with kidney health early on, we can put in those interventions to protect them in the longer term. And there are great options now in terms of medications, as well as blood pressure control and so on, which can protect those kidneys over time. So don't worry if you're being asked to take these medications. They're helping to protect your kidneys and your heart in the longer term.
So Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation really works hard to help people living with diabetes to understand all aspects of their condition and have those tools to maintain good self-management. You've already said how important this leaflet is. I think just a little bit about that idea that you've got so much to have to deal with, maybe. So you, one minute you've told you're living with diabetes and the next minute, you know, you've got other things to think about.
I think we, and I have certainly been guilty of this as a GP in the past, we are telling somebody they've got a serious, potentially lifelong diagnosis when they're living with diabetes. And then we start talking about, go and have your eyes checked. Have your kidneys checked. What's your blood pressure doing? What's your cholesterol doing? Have we checked your feet? There's an awful lot to consider. And I think that can feel so overwhelming for the individual that actually we need to really consider how they're feeling about that, how overwhelmed they're feeling by that amount of information. It's really stressful and can really impact on people's mental health as well as physical health. And so having a dependable resource, somewhere we can go and get that information is so important. And I'll often signpost my patients to DRWF to get that reliable information, which I know is very patient focused, or the person living with the disease focused, and that's really important. I'd often send out links to resources people can go and access after a consultation. Sometimes it's nice, isn't it, to go home, try and process what you've been told, but then perhaps do a little bit of reading yourself, which you know is reliable, to really sort of educate yourself. I think when I'm seeing somebody who's gone away and be able to educate themselves and understand what these tests are for, that person's so much better being able to engage with their health and with the advice perhaps that we're giving them, so motivated to be able to protect their physical health, their kidneys and anything else that's relevant to them. So I think it's a fabulous resource, and I hope you continue to produce similar resources, because we certainly use them in everyday practice to support our patients.
That's wonderful. Is there anything else you think you'd like to add?
Perhaps it's important that we understand what our kidneys do. It's important that we know that our kidneys are at risk from living with diabetes, but lots that we can do to protect them. And most importantly, having our tests done regularly to look for any early issues. So an annual blood test and an annual urine test to check for your kidney health. So important.
So, to bring this to a close, can I ask all of you what you hope is the most important thing that people living with diabetes will take away from having greater awareness of good kidney and heart health?
I hope that it's a call to action for patients to understand how easy it is to check for kidney health. But I think it's also clear that healthcare professionals need to see the work that the third sector is doing in arming patients with this information, but also that we're doing some of the lifting so that we're not just making more of an ask of an already burdened primary care service.
What I'd really like is for people to look at this leaflet and then speak to their healthcare professional and ask about their kidney and heart health. Ask about this double check. Share it with family and friend who may have diabetes and increase awareness about early detection and screening before we get advanced disease, because that's when the greatest opportunity is available for us to prevent complications. And that would be my key kind of objective.
I think maybe just another, I might just say that I really think people should go and check out the resource. Just there's information there. And there's something, just to reiterate the point again, I've been down the diabetes, chronic kidney disease path, and the learning, if hindsight's a wonderful thing, but if you have a resource like this now and you don't have a quick kidney disease diagnosis or anything, or even if you're at the early stages, just go and understand and educate yourself. Even if you're at the latter stages and you might not understand, just go and take the time to read and educate yourself. And also just to say that it's going to be okay. Like, it's going to be okay. I can't just reiterate stuff. My life might look different, but everything's going to be okay.
So a top tip for me would be not forgetting the importance of having your urine test. It's not very nice to have to carry a bottle of urine into your GP surgery once a year, but actually that test is a real insight into your kidney and heart health. So make sure you're doing that urinary ACR test every single year and ask for your results as well. Know your own numbers, so important to look after your own health.
DRWF, staying well until a cure is found.
You're listening to Living with Diabetes, the DRWF podcast. Our thanks to everyone on the panel for participating, and I hope you found this helpful and informative. You can find the leaflet on our website at drwf.org.uk, where there's lots of other guidance, helpful information and details on how to support the charity, together with the latest fundraising events, news and information. This is Claire Levy from Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. Our thanks again to the panel and also to you for listening to this latest edition of Living with Diabetes.
Living with Diabetes is a Blue Aurora media production for DRWF. Copyright 2026. Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. All rights reserved.